Welcome to iConversations. I'm Petra Stoffberg, co-founder of Wardrobe Icons, and today I'm joined by our features editor, Brooke Lepore-Trench, to talk to our favourite well-being expert and author, Jasmine Hemsley. The topic is rituals, and I have to admit that we pretty much begged her to come onto our podcast today so we could find out exactly what she does to look quite so fresh and glowy. So, hello Jasmine.
Hello Petra.
So, everyone I think should know who Jasmine Hemsley is from her amazing cookbooks, and also you might have been to one of her sound baths. But we first met Jasmine a few years ago at a breakfast that I think actually we hosted, and Lara sat next to Jasmine and they spoke about gut and the importance of gut and the rituals of looking after your gut. And afterwards I remember Lara saying how magical Jasmine was and how much she enjoyed speaking to you, and then basically from then we just couldn't get enough of you, and then we started hatching plans on how we could do a cover with you and then subsequent events and so on. So I think I'd like to kick off our podcast today to ask you about the sound bath that you did for the opening of the Goop pop-up at Harvey Nichols. How would the sound bath fall into a ritual? Is it like a relaxing ritual? Is it a healing ritual?
So a ritual is really, for me, a kind of moment in time where you choose to reconnect with yourself. So mindfulness can be something that, if you practice it a lot, can become part of your everyday. But until you, mindfulness is a part of your everyday, and it's really, really hard, by the way. The ritual of trying to be mindful or making time to be mindful is what, it's like a practice, if you like. And rituals, as I see it, are designed to remind us that we are nature and that we are of nature and that the nature around us affects us. You know, in the same way that flowers know how to react in certain weather or the trees know what to do at certain times of the year, our bodies knew. But we have so many interruptions from modern life, be it the blue screens on our phones or our TV late at night, confusing our body because we think it's lights out, it's dark outside, and then suddenly there's light right into my eyes going straight to my brain, and the body gets really confused. The house phone at my house used to be no one was allowed to call after 8 p.m.
Now, really?
Yeah, when I was growing up, and now we take calls, unless it's emergency, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
But now we take calls until the moment we fall asleep. I mean, I meet a lot of young people who say they sleep with their phones on, under their pillow, next to their pillow.
I sleep with mine on.
Yeah, and it becomes this addictive thing because there's information there, and our mind loves information.
I notice that if I check my phone in the middle of the night, for what usually it's to check the time, find that just that seeing that light,
yes,
makes me wakes me up and brings me into a new sort of
absolutely the blue light. Your body thinks it's daylight. It gets really, really confused, and then the melatonin production, you know, ceases because the body's thinking it's daylight, and then that has a knock-on effect with your whole body. So we don't realize how actually negative that impact is for us.
But one of the things you talked about is the fact that you only have coffee on a Sunday.
Yeah. If I'm not working, if I didn't work on the Saturday, and if I'm not at all stressed with some kind of deadline, because coffee kind of exacerbates the way you feel. It's a stimulant. And later it becomes a depressant, a bit like alcohol. And so if I'm already stimulated, and I mean, by stimulated, you could feel like a bag of potatoes because you're so exhausted, but your brain is on. You know that thing where you're like, oh, I'm on fire. Yeah, I'm answering emails. I'm on this. No, this is fine. I'm tired, but I'm going to get through this. Look at me. I've done that. Bish, bash, bosh. Now I'm going to tidy the house quickly. I'm going to pick up the kids. I'm going to do that. I'm Wonder Woman. I'm exhausted. Coffee, especially for my body type, which is quite Vata, and I'm Vata Pitta, both of these are quite stimulated doshas. It might make me feel amazing for a moment. It tastes good. I love the ritual. I love the smell. I hanker after it probably all the more because I know it's kind of not good for me. But yeah, if I'm on holiday and it's a really relaxing holiday, coffee has zero effect on me. If anything, it gives me the tiny buzz. But if I'm already buzzed up, I do not need more buzz.
So obviously coffee isn't part of your morning ritual. But I'm curious to know what is. Like, for me, I'm the kind of person who stays in bed as long as humanly possible, sort of sluggishly gets up, tries to, like, throw myself in the shower, go downstairs, have breakfast, obviously in between doing the kids' stuff, and then throw myself in the car and get to work as quickly as possible without too much ritual, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a facial routine.
No.
But apart from that, I don't have any morning.
So this was also me. Like, that used to be me, and it is me from time to time. And actually, I'm actually doing this talk, I'm actually feeling very tired. My rituals have gone out the window this week. I can really, really feel the difference. But because I have a structure to my day, I can quickly know that you know, the moment I have an opportunity, I am back on that structure, because that structure helps me to replenish and reset.
Right. So what do you do in the morning when you're doing everything right, when you've really got your game on?
So I get up, and the first thing I do, probably without fail, is clean my tongue.
Yes, tongue scrapers. Yes. So,
have you been using that, Petro?
I did it twice, and then I was like, I just don't get it. It just doesn't do anything for me. So we got given some
tongue tinglers.
Jasmine gave us some tongue tinglers at the breakfast as a goodie bag gift. And I diligently did it three times. Diligent. Well, for me, it's diligent. Anything, I'm like, if I do something three times, it's a routine.
She's done. It's done. So what did you feel it wasn't doing for you?
I wasn't like desperate to do it again.
Yeah.
I know that you were saying that basically you can't get up in the morning
and not do it.
Do it.
No, yeah. I feel like my mouth feels like it needs a clean. So overnight your body's detoxing, and that's why in the morning you have a pee, you want to wash your face, you maybe want to shower, you want to brush your teeth, clean the rest of your mouth and have a poo. You know, these are all things that we really should be doing in the morning. You know, like if you look to your kids, then we start to control it, because that's what we do as we get older. And then our body doesn't know whether it's come or going. And so we end up with all these kind of poopy problems. But I clean my tongue. That removes that kind of gunk that kind of builds up. But also it's the gunk that your body's giving out. So it's a avenue of detoxification. Get in the shower. And while I'm in the shower, I'll oil pull. And I'm not very good at doing this every day.
Sorry, what is an oil pull?
So oil pulling is where you kind of, you know how you cleanse your face with oil?
Yes.
You cleanse your mouth with oil. So you look, instead of kind of mouthwashes, which everyone is kind of uses quite often now, I think, these kind of chemical-based ones that make your mouth feel clean because it's kind of stripped your mouth and it has that very strong chemical taste. Quite damaging to the taste buds, quite damaging to the microbiome of your mouth. Oil pulling is thousands of years old. They do it in many Eastern practices, and it basically just draws out toxins and things.
And what kind of oil is it? Is there any that you can...
There's a lot now in kind of, you know, you go into health food shops and things, and they've got specific oils that have been, you know, flavoured with mint or neem or things that are great for the mouth. But traditionally, it would be sesame oil. You just kind of move it around your mouth. It's incredible for getting rid of buildup of plaque. It also strengthens. If you think about oil, it's very nourishing, so it strengthens your gums. Just like cleansing your face with oil, it nourishes and it lifts dirt. So that's what you're doing with your mouth.
Okay, cool.
I will do that if I'm run down and ill. Otherwise, I'll just do it twice a week. So I'm doing that while I'm in the shower. Quick shower, 5-10 minutes. Spit that down the loo. And then I'll go and have some hot water. I'll do a bit of yoga. When I said bit of yoga, it's literally 5 minutes. Usually, it feels so good. I add on another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes. And then when I kind of feel ready, I'll do my meditation. So while this is happening, Nick's kind of doing his routine in around this. There's dogs running around. I'm trying not to check my phone. And yeah, I meditate for 20 minutes, sometimes 30.
So do you think out of all of your daily rituals that that is maybe your... the one that is the most important, or the one that you really can't skip? Or is there one, you know, that you're like, if I don't do this, my whole day's messed up? Like, I feel like that if I don't have a cup of coffee.
Well, I would say no, because nothing is like, you know, you try not to make anything a crutch in your life. If you need it so badly, you realize you've got to rewind, you know? So for example, I say to people, if you cannot function without a coffee, you should probably look at why. If you cannot wind down without a glass of wine, you should probably look at why. If you like a glass of wine, that's great. But if the next day you can't have it, you fall apart, that means it's a crutch. And then it's definitely, that's a signal to kind of look at what could be change in your routine that could make your body not so needing of this external?
Well, I actually, this sort of jumps a bit forward, but we were thinking about stress. Mm. And I actually realized that I use wine mm-hmm. and television as a distraction mm-hmm. from stress.
Yes.
Because I don't really feel stressed ever, really. It happens every
you're
now quite, and again.
You're very laid back. Like, every time I've met you, you're very gentle and laid back, and you're not kind of like hyped up. I get very hyped up.
I think in general, not my husband will completely disagree with this, but I think I'm quite a even person in terms of mood swings and things like that. However, I do think that if I do feel stressed or something's making me feel anxious or worried, I find that instead of sort of dealing with it, I end up distracting myself with a glass of wine, a movie, a television.
It's kind of like ending your day, you know? It's like the kids are in bed, work is done, this is my me time. The only issue with that kind of me time is it's not really you time.
What would you recommend for people who are doing, what is there any rituals or anything that they can do that help?
Yeah, absolutely. So for a lot of people, getting on your mat, when I say getting on mat, I mean literally rolling around. When I say a mat, sometimes I'm on the back of my back on a floor, and I'll literally just be like a kid, you know, like roll my back out, have a stretch, do that lovely. Do you remember when I got everyone to lie in on their sides and pretend it was Saturday morning?
Yes.
And isn't that so delicious?
Yes.
And kind of free? That kind of thing. Going for a walk, doing pranayama breath work, so alternate nostril breathing is very easy. Mm-hmm. And I find if I get anxious about something, or there's a bit of a build up, or I'm stressed, or I've had an argument with somebody, this is a really good way of balancing both sides of your brain. And kind of cover one nostril, breathe in the other one, shut that nostril, breathe out the other one. So you're basically just transferring the way you breathe through your nose. And that's an ancient practice, and it really works. Another one is just to stretch. One of my girlfriends did, she was studying psychology. She told me every time you feel like it's a bit full on and you need to kind of change your energy, just look at the sky. So I go outside and I look at the sky, and it looks so big, and suddenly my problem feels so small. It's a kind of a mood changer. But you said you don't really have those moods. So
I don't know if I do, but I'm just sort of like, I sometimes feel like I'm just burying it, just pushing it down.
And we do, it feels selfish to like start thinking about emotions, or it feels uncomfortable to go at that niggly thing, you know. And often, if I don't address those niggly things kind of get me at 2 a.m.
What I struggle with is keeping to a ritual. How do you do that?
That's a really good question. And it's one that I struggle with all the time, because society doesn't really support this way of living. Society is about getting you to spend money, be somewhere, do something, show off what you're doing, have a social life, have a love life, be a parent, be an employee, be the best employee, be the best boss. You know, it's all about this kind of very external production line. That's what our achievements end up being. And so if you kind of say to your friends, I'm just going to have a meditation, they'll look at you like, are you joking? But if you go to places like Google now and Amazon and things like that, if you say I'm going to have a meditation, it's really not that unusual. They're realizing that the well-being of their employees directly affects the productivity of their company. And even if they don't realize that yet, they realize everyone else is doing it. So if they want to retain their employees, they start to implement that.
Tell us about Ayurveda.
Okay, Ayurveda, which is, I think we're just saying it in the English way, but it's like Ayurveda, is a Sanskrit word, and it means the philosophy or science of life. It was created kind of in the Vedic civilization 3,000 to 5,000 years ago in India, and it's basically the manual for nature, the manual for life. That's how I look at it. The toolkit, the kind of guidelines. It's very similar to traditional Chinese medicine, which happened just over the Himalayas in China. And basically the East is always understood this mind, body, spirit. The West has been all about physical, material, comfort. You know, when we talk about health, you know, 20 years ago, it was about the six pack. You know, how far could you run? What did it look like on the outside? How was your skin? Now we're realizing that you could work on your skin, you could work on your six pack, you could work on your running time. But if you're not looking after your mental health and your spiritual health, you will feel depressed, numb, feeling very void, like you've got the house, you've got the car, you've got the job, but what's the meaning of life? And that's why people kind of have this whole thing of what's the meaning of life? They go looking for something else because they kind of get their physical goals and it doesn't feel enough.
Can you tell us more about doshas?
So we have three doshas called Vata, Pitta, Kapha. And those three building blocks are made up of the five elements. So Vata is very spacey and airy. It's that kind of fast-moving, dry, quick, speedy, cold energy. That's the energy of autumn. It's the energy of flying. It's the energy of being on your laptop all day. Then you have Pitta, which is fire and water. So that's that hot energy. It's that flustered kind of get things done, team leader energy that can get very hot under the collar, can get quite angry sometimes or forceful, also very overstimulated. So coffee is not great for Pitta types and Vata types because they're both stimulated. And then you have Kapha, which is earth and water, which is much more grounded, Mother Earth, laid back, more solid people, you know, the kind of people who get to places on time and stand by their word, who are not fazed by, you know, little things in life like missing the bus. But those three doshas are in all of us, just in different ratios. So I'm very Vata Pitta with a bit of Kapha. And if you can go on, if you go onto my website, jasminehemsley.com, you can spend 3 minutes just working out kind of what you are. And it helps
I'm
you.
So going to do that after.
And it's fascinating. It's fascinating because you start to learn about the different doshas.
So obviously, do the different doshas have different rituals that are better suited to them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is something that the West, when Ayurveda and yoga first came over, the West kind of really got into, because the West loves labels. We love
a fix.
I'm this, therefore I need this, and this is my list of foods, and this is what I'm like, stuff you.
We love a list.
And then that list doesn't work because nothing in life is rigid. You know, there is no, you know, there is no exacting measure. No matter how much we try and prove something in science, there's always, yes, but in this situation, in exactly the same way we keep trying to perfect the human diet. What is the perfect diet? So many people can tell you a completely different diet. And that's because we, you know, coconut water, great, 100% raw, gorgeous. Too much of it, not great. So more is not more, but we like to think that in the West. So what I teach is actually the simple stuff.
The ritual of eating regularly with big spaces in between. Is a good sort of ritual for your gut. Is there any other good gut rituals that you think?
Drink hot water with your food a little bit, you know. I always say, just to imagine how that works in the body. I mean, hot water kind of melts and flushes. It also doesn't put out your agni, which is your digestive fire. So Ayurveda understands digestion as, so if you've got fire burning, if it's nice and lively, it makes short work of changing food into your body, turning that food into nectar for your body. If it's burning very low and you go and put a roast dinner on it, it's going to struggle. If it's burning very low and you put the most incredible food, some fancy whole food cafe on it, it's going to struggle. And that's what we don't think about. We're like, oh, but this is healthy because this is what it physically looks like on the plate, and it's got some greens and it's got some vegetables, etc. So if your digestive system is not, if your agni, your fire is not up to scratch, it can't do much with it.
Well, actually, it's interesting you say that, because I remember going to this well-being clinic, and she said that one of the things that she would recommend for me is not to eat so much raw food.
Yeah.
Because I have salad pretty much with every single meal. Because it's easy.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. And also, I think there's a big influence from ideas of what healthy is.
Yeah, of course. And I just think, well, I can have as much salad
as I
want.
It's fresh, it's green, it's full of nutrients. And it is, you know, as long as it hasn't been sitting on a shelf for a long time. But it is. But if you can't digest it, you're not getting any of those nutrients anyway. So Ayurvedic doctors say the biggest problem they find with Western clients, or Western women especially, is our love of eating salad. And our digestive systems are just not up to the job. We are knackered. We're running here, there, and everywhere. You might not know it because it's not physically happening on the outside yet, but the internals are a bit like, oh, another thing we have to digest from scratch. When we eat soups and stews, it's pre-digested. That's why, you know, we have this tradition of, if you're sick, your elderly or children have easy to digest food. If your fire, your agni, is really, really strong, raw is really no problem. It's at its strongest at lunchtime. So if I'm going to eat raw, I eat it at lunchtime. I eat a lot of cooked food, and I try to make it as fresh as possible, because pranically or energetically, it's more vibrant. You know, there are no teeth in our tummies. So if you're putting
in
chunks,
like it's taking it in soups or stews or whatever, it's already, it's almost like someone's already chewed it.
Yeah, it's pre-digested, exactly.
And then, so it's easier for you to absorb.
Yeah, but, and I wouldn't have so many blended foods. And one thing to be very, very careful of, now that we've got all these incredibly fast blenders, etc., is people tend to just neck it. like a water. And you need your saliva to be around the food. You need to chew. So in Ayurveda they say, chew your drink and drink your food.
Okay.
So chew your drink, you know, taste it, have it in the mouth. The mouth has all these incredible senses that tell the body, you know, the stomach, what it's about to receive, can actually determine.
Isn't it like enzymes as well?
Enzymes, exactly. Amylase happens, you know, the first very important stage of digestion. That's why when we look at food, when we connect to food, when we smell it, our mouth starts to water. That's that stage, that physical stage of digestion starting. And if we just kind of walk into a thing, let our minds tell us, oh, you haven't had any green food, or you ate loads of rubbish yesterday or junk food, go for the broccoli soup, order it, or the green smoothie, order it, literally throw it down our throats, we're missing out on connection and digestion.
So, okay, so we've talked about good habits. Have you ever had any bad habits that you've had to overcome?
And absolutely.
How did you overcome them?
I think just it's been a slow process. It's either been sometimes when I've, you know, you've overdone it and then there's that natural instinct of, oh, I'm not drinking for a while. But as I've kind of got to know myself better, you know, the coffee thing, before I understood it through Ayurveda, I started to intuitively realize coffee was just making me kind of a bit manic and a bit wired. And I would be, you know, happy as a Larry. I would be bashing out those emails. But I'm kind of got this very heightened thing that, you know, some people would read as, oh, she's so, look at her, she's full of energy. She gets things done, you know. Like,
she's a go-getter.
She's a go-getter. Look at her go. God, nothing stops her. She's on the ball. But at what expense, you know? And I started to kind of understand that. And the more I've understood it, the more those kind of habits don't really hang around so much.
You were a raver.
I was a Cinderella. I did everything until the clock went 12. And then I could literally ride that feeling out. I could dance all night, but I wouldn't touch any alcohol or anything after midnight. I don't know why that was in my brain, but that was kind of, so, you know, and then as I was growing up, I saw a lot of friends who couldn't stop. And that made me realize as well, gosh, I don't want this to have a hold on me. But, you know, I've certainly had, you know, my fair share of fun and crazy. Would I do it again in this lifetime? I would, because it was me. But, you know, if I was just born now, or I was in my late teens and my friends aren't doing it, I wouldn't feel like I was missing out. Over the years, I've been interested in wanting to feel good. I don't know what sparked that. Maybe it was because, you know, I ate home cooked food in my mum's growing up, and then I went to university and I ate probably a loaf of white 11p bread a day, and I basically had a cheese toastie for breakfast, lunch, 4 p.m. dinner, and then I couldn't go to the toilet. And so I started to notice those kind of things, and then that's really how I got into well-being. I was like, I don't want to eat a tuna salad with a low fat dressing and a cracker with low fat cream cheese, and that doesn't feel like health to me. And that's kind of what got me interested. So really it was an interest in wanting to feel
good in yourself.
Good in myself. And then I started modeling, and that was another reason, because, you know, and mine wasn't really a weight thing in modeling so much, because I was girl next door modeling. I did a lot of TV commercials. I wasn't on the catwalk or having to fit into a certain size. But you are on, everyone is looking at you. The high, kind of mood of the day depends on really you and the photographer.
And you have to perform.
Everybody's literally looking at you. If you come in having a bad day or a bit hungover, people that you don't know, they're judging you on that, you know? They're like, oh, she was really moody. God, no, she wasn't much fun. Oh, she looked a bit dull.
Well, a model once described her day as every day is like the first day at a new job.
Yes, it is. I've said that many, many times. You are with a new group of people the whole time. And so you've got to be on best foot forward. Whereas, you know, the times I have worked in an office environment, I can come in and go, hi guys, listen, just ignore me today. I'm just going to dribble in the corner. I'm having a bit of a, you know.
I'm having a bad day.
Or such and such happened last night, I can't even talk about it, you know, I'll see you at lunchtime. And you can be, you know, yourself.
More yourself,
totally.
Yes.
And I guess travel takes it out of me, and I really noticed that. And so what I've got with Ayurveda is a toolbox that I can reach into when I need something.
If you were going to give one, like, cheat sheet tip to our listeners, is there any, like, one thing that you think?
I'd say there's a couple. Drink hot water. In sunny weather, we know we're properly into summer now, warm water. You know, if you're hot already, don't drink hot water, but don't drink iced water. You know, it's your body wants to be a certain temperature. It's a lot of energy to bring it back up to that temperature. Two, don't eat late. You know, another one would be learn to meditate. It doesn't appeal to everyone, but there are so many different styles. And just think of it as a little pocket of time where you process your experiences. You air your dirty laundry. Just that moment of just going, this is me, I'm going to sit here, take a couple of deep breaths, follow my breath.
Thank you so much.
There's so much. Brilliant. I'm sorry.
No.
It's not easy.
It was brilliant. And I think you've come away with some really brilliant tips, and hopefully everyone can, you know, adapt or put a couple of things into their daily routine ritual. And
yeah, I would just say really just be interested, be playful with it, and really enjoy it, because nothing's great for you if it's a chore or you don't believe in it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to iConversations. Turns out talking never goes out of fashion. You can find more episodes of these insightful conversations with the women who inspire us on Apple Podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps get the word out.